Good morning. How is everyone? Good. I was just thinking, my son, we leave for vacation after this, and he is just overly excited. And during praise and worship, he talked the whole time, and I kept threatening him, you're going to get it. You're going to get it. You're going to get it. And he just kept talking. So excuse me for those that were disturbed, because he's a little excited that he's going on vacation. I'm grateful for Brother Dickerson opening this morning because of something he said. You know, I always, as I seek the presence of the Lord for what he wants me to speak on, and then throughout the praise and worship and throughout the time, I just always thank God, because what he has always done is given me a small confirmation that yes. Because I'm one of those people that's like, God, please let me hit it on the head. Please let me have the right message. And he gives me a small confirmation. Well, as he was speaking and he was talking, he was almost preaching the message. So I was excited. I got very excited because I thought, oh, thank you, Jesus. I have spent a lot of time in these last few weeks talking and praying with people that are going through various trials, but not just your normal trials, like, you know, I need more money. Just really extensive crisis, like part of your family has been taken from you and you don't know when you're going to get them back. A foreclosure on a home and now I'm homeless. Not only have you lost your job, but on top of losing the job, then right after that, your daughter is killed. And just some major crisis and people calling and saying, would you pray with me? Would you be there with me? Would you stand in the gap for me? And so these last couple of weeks, I've lived part of what I'm speaking to you about. My sister was hospitalized and almost passed away, almost died, but God was there. And my nephew on Friday was hit by a car while he was on a bicycle, and they still don't know the extent of the damage of his leg. And through that, I just thought, Lord, we have to, because I was praying with my sister and she was crying and just so upset and so distraught. But we have to learn to have peace in the time of troubles. You know, there has to be a peace that doesn't come from us. It does not come from us. It doesn't come from who we are or who we think that we are. It's a peace that only Christ can give. And so I'm going to talk about that peace this morning. I want to give you just a brief synopsis and a little bit of history to lead us to where we're going so that you can understand how that scripture came into being. In St. John, the 13th chapter, and you don't have to turn here. You can if you'd like, but I'm just going through a couple of the chapters. In St. John, the 13th chapter, the Bible talks about the Last Supper, the time when Jesus was washing his disciples' feet. And of course, in verse 8, we get Peter, and I often think, Father, sometimes I'm a lot like Peter, and then other times I'm not quite as bold as Peter. But I think about it, and Peter said, Lord, I'm not going to have you wash my feet. You're not washing my feet. Thinking of, oh, no, Jesus washing my feet? No way. But then Jesus spoke to him and said, if I don't wash your feet, you shall have no part of me. And of course, at that point, I thought a lot about me. Okay, Lord, just saturate me, you know? Wash my hands, wash my feet, wash all of me, because I want to be a part of you. Then, at that point, what was he teaching his disciples? He was teaching them to serve one another in humility. We have come to a point, and I'm going to pray. I'm just giving you an opening. We have come to a point in our walk in our life with Christ that we're suffering in the humility department. Everything that we do, we want to do it in the open. Let me give this to you. Let me do this for you. And your name has to be mentioned, and you have to be seen, and you have to be exalted, and you have to be told 1,000 times, thank you, oh, thank you, oh, thank you, oh, I want to say thank you, instead of just being able to give it and walk away. The Lord instructed me years ago. He said, why are you so important that people have to say thank you to you? You're not important. I am important. You're important to me, but not important in that way. I don't want you to get my glory. And so now when I give usually where people don't have any idea who gave it. And I'm not out for all of that. And I'm trying to work that into my son, into my son. I say, son, as we give, we don't give looking for anyone to say thank you. We don't give looking for someone to be able to say, I gave that to you. We just give. And then the next part he was trying to teach them is rather than being in charge of everything, don't seek preeminence over someone else. Don't seek preeminence over someone else. Sometimes it's, can I just be in charge? Let me tell you a secret about being in charge. Those that usually end up in charge want to run and tuck themselves under someone that is not in charge. I want to tell you that. There are days that I find a hiding spot and people are looking for me and I hear my name throughout the whole building. Where's Robin? Where's Robin? Where's Robin? And I have found a hiding place in God and I go tuck myself in there and say, God, they really need to call on you. I'm not enough to give them the answer. There's a we can't seek preeminence over each other. In the 13th chapter, he was also teaching and revealing who was going to betray him. Isn't it wonderful to know that nothing surprises Jesus? Nothing. Then the 14th chapter, he tells them, the promise of the Holy Spirit is coming. I'm not going to leave you without a comforter. I won't leave you all by yourself, but I'm going to send someone that will lead you into all truth. So you're not going to be all by yourself. And then in the 15th chapter, he breaks it down, the part that we really don't want to hear. He says, let me explain something. You're a follower of me. And you got to understand this. If they hate me, they're going to what? Hate you. And you know what? We hate that part the most. We want to be liked everywhere we go. Well, how come they're mistreating me? They mistreated Jesus. And if you have the name of Christ as part of you, then don't expect to always go everywhere and get a door open. Just know that Christ is with you. And so he brought that home. Then in the 15th chapter also, something that I love, and I'm really grateful for this. He tells me over and over again, that I am the vine. I'm the true vine. Sometimes you're looking for something that's real. And you're out and you're searching and you're saying, what is real? Well, he's the true vine. And then finally we get down to where I'm getting to. In the 16th chapter, he begins to deal with leading them into the work of the Holy Spirit. Guiding them into all truths. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being here. And I thank you, God, that you have spoken to me. And as I speak back what you have spoken, speak into the hearts of men and women. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus unfolded to all of his disciples a full account of everything that was about to happen to him. From the betrayal of Judas, the denial of Peter, the scattering of them from all their homes, the hatred they were going to face, the fact that the world was not going to like them, yet he revealed to them that in all of this, there was an excitement coming and that they would have joy. Can you imagine that? In the midst of everything, you can have joy. Where does that joy come from? From the peace that God will give you. In this world, we have many threats of personal situations, both socially, politically, and economically, and we have lots of fears of life and death. I remember talking to someone, and she wasn't even sick, and she just had a fear of dying. And I said, why do you have such a fear? She was overwhelmed with death. And let me tell you something. If this gets in your heart, we can really get lost. We can get lost in the despairs of life. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What is Christ telling us to do? He's telling us to focus on the eternal things. All of this stuff that you see is going to pass away. But what is eternal is Jesus Christ. And if we can put our hearts and our minds and our thoughts into a relationship with Him, we've got a hold of the eternal things. We can get so caught up in the temporal. I'm a witness. I'm preaching to me. I'm telling you, we can get caught up in the temporal of not having, the temporal of suffering, the temporal of whatever is going on in your life. It's just temporal. Tomorrow the situation can change. Let's get caught up in the eternal things. After you leave this earth, where are you going? You see, if we got half as concerned about our souls and where we're going, we would treat people better. We would speak. We would not only do those things, but we would give. We would give out of our hearts to each other. We would love. Why? Because those are eternal things. And those are things that turn the heart of God. In John 16:33. Now you can open your Bibles. This is the foundation verse. It says, and I'm reading for the Amplified, and they were telling me they didn't have the Amplified, so I'm going to read it from the Amplified so it won't read exactly like that, possibly. It says, I have told you these things. And I want to tell you what most people do in their mind. This is how they will read it. I have told you these things. You may have peace and confidence. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says this, I have told you these things so that in me, you may have peace and confidence. That's what the Amplified Version says. I want to deal with the in me part. Because, see, we skip over a lot of things when we read the Bible because we want these things to just do what we want them to do. And so here's the thing. We miss the part that says in me. The in the me part is saying you have to start with the relationship with Jesus. In me. And then he says, if you want this peace, you see, because there is no peace in the world. There is turmoil in the world. There is trouble in the world. And every time you look around, someone's going through something in the world. But if you're looking for that peace that surpasses all understanding, you're looking for the peace that in the middle of the night when you can't call your neighbor, you can call on him. If you're looking for the peace that when everything is taken from you, you have an assurance that there is a home for you, then in me, that's where you have to start, in Christ Jesus. So what do you have to do? Well, it's definitely not a part-time lover situation. I know that's getting real nitty-gritty, isn't it? But I come from a place where you just say it like it is. And so it's a part-time lover situation. You can't be in and out and in and out and in and out. And if he does it your way, then you're in with him. And if he decides that he's going to do it the opposite way, then you're out with him. And you see, because it's not about that. He's going to do some things perfectly that will please you. And then he's going to work some situations out. And you're going to say, you didn't please me, but you worked it out. And it was still for my good. Something's hurting God. You know, we love to talk about all the things that just give us that somber feeling, that wonderful feeling of joy and electricity and all of those things. I love those moments. But there are some things that God has done for me that he has just simply given me something and it hurt. And he says, Robin, I'm giving this to you because this is going to make you better in me. I look back now at some of the things that I said. I was talking to this morning, just talking to my sister, and I told her, I said, when I first accepted Christ, I was a kid, I was 12. And the one thing that I always said, and I didn't realize that it would fit right here, but I'm going to say this because I was talking to her this morning. The one thing I always said is, God, I want to live for you, and I want to do what's right, and I'm asking you just to keep me, because, Father, I don't ever want to be a single mom. I don't ever want to have to raise children by myself. Father, I want you to keep me until I marry. He did, and I'm a single mom. And guess what? Was he slack concerning his promises? No, he wasn't. But you know what he wanted to show me? That, Robin, that wasn't the, in the midst of what happened, he didn't ordain the bad situation, so I'm not saying that. But in the midst of what happened, guess what he showed me? I can take care of you. I can guide you through it. I can supply for you. I can work things out for you. And I'm telling you, he has kept a roof over my son and mine's head. He has put food on our table. He has paid bills when I didn't understand where they were coming from. And my bills don't match my money, but my God is good. And every time I look, he is supplying for us. So in the midst of what I thought would be the most horrible situation in my life, my God has used it to give me strength, because I don't seek the north, the east, the south, or the west for my help, but I look to God for my help. And he meets me at my need. And I'm telling you, I learned what that secret place was for, because I go to the secret place and I lay it out in his presence and I say, God, I don't know. School is getting ready to come. Now, you know what he needs, Lord. How are you going to work it out? And then all of a sudden, in walks clothes and things that he needs for school. And he uses the very source that told me he would never buy clothes or shoes for him for school. He just walks in with bags of them. My God is perfect. My God is perfect. But what is he doing for Robin in the midst of what seemed like a big no, a big hurt? He's teaching me to trust him. Do this the way you want it done, Robin. I'm going to do this the way I got to do it, because I have to teach you something. I want you to trust me. So number one, that part about in me, you want that peace in me, not Robin, but Christ. Number one, you have to prepare your heart. You have to come to a place where you get in the presence of God and prepare your heart. Jeremiah 4:3 says this, "For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." The Lord is speaking about breaking up those hard places in your heart and allowing the word of God to come in and soften those spots. You know, we make commitments. I am never going to go through this. And I am never going to do this. And Lord, if you allow this, I'm never going to serve you. Follow ground. Break up those hard places. Allow those hard places to be broken. And he says to sow not among thorns. If there is a patch in your heart that is hard and thorny, you know, you can be sitting right in church and still have some places in your heart that you say, God, you can have all of this to the left, but if you touch to the right, I'm out of here. Well, I want to tell you something. You're in the right place, because God's not only going to touch to the left, but his spirit is going to move to the right. And he's going to knock on every door of your heart. And when he moves in, he doesn't move into small compartments. He moves into every part of you. And those where you have said, absolutely, positively, this does not belong to God. This belongs to me. It's gone. He'll break it down as his word comes in. I'll tell you something, that breaking is not always you just feeling all the pain. He'll bring it to you in a way sometimes that even you just say, God, I'm sorry. I surrender. I surrender. I told all of you that my dad, those of you that have been here, was an alcoholic when I was growing up. And this was the neat thing. When my dad accepted Jesus as his Savior, right before the day that he accepted Jesus, that night service, the next day, my mom came to me and she says, okay, let's find all of his hiding places. And I was a kid, so I did it. She said, let's find all of his hiding places and dump all of the liquor. So at first, you know, as a kid, you're thinking, but do we really have to do that? He accepted Christ. Won't he do that? And my mom was like, come on, help me. So we went around and we found all the hiding places and we dumped all the liquor. But what was funny is my dad woke up early that morning after, he woke up right after we finished. And he got up, and he opened up compartments and doors that we knew not of. And I'm telling you, he pulled out stuff that we didn't even know he had in the house. And he was dumping it. He was dumping it. And he never, ever looked back. He never had another drink. He never had another drink. And so what the Lord showed me in all of that is his heart had been prepared. He had prepared his heart in the presence of the Lord. The second thing is we have to know is after you let the preparation happen in your heart, you got to cling to him. You have to hold fast to him. Have you ever held fast to something? You're on something and it's going really fast. Well, when we were kids, we had this wagon. And so my brother decided, well, I will pull you down the hill in the wagon. And I don't know if you realize that there's not enough to hold on to when you're holding on to a side and you're going straight down on a street. And my brother could no longer run as fast as the wagon was coming. So guess what he did? He let go of the wagon and the wagon kept going. And guess who was in the wagon? And I was screaming for everything I was worth. But let me tell you something. I held on to that wagon until my nails were gripping in that wagon. And when I was done, my hands were like this. I was cleaving to the wagon. I was not going to let go. Even though I fell over, I was still holding on to the wagon. That's how we have to get in Christ. You know what? It's so funny. Every situation makes us mad. So who do we let go of? The only one that can solve it. The only person that can solve it. The only person. I got mad with God. He's the only person that could have worked it out. And we got mad with him. And you let go, but you have to cleave to him. Joshua 22:5 says this, but take diligent heed to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandment, and to cleave unto him, and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. How many of you remember the song, Just a Closer Walk with Thee? Granted, Jesus is my plea. And the thing is we know the songs. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. We'll sing the songs, but let me tell you, it's more than singing a song. You've got to be drawing closer and closer and closer and closer. And every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Let me tell you something. I can look back. It's been 39 years, but I'm telling you, today is sweeter than it was yesterday. I can't imagine how I did it without him. It's sweeter today than it was yesterday. Every day gets sweeter and sweeter. I look back and I say, God, I can't make it without you. I don't know how I've made it thus far, except I do know that every day got sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. A daily intimacy. Number 3, daily. In order to get this peace, You're going to have to walk in a daily intimacy. And I have to tell you this. So whenever I leave, then you can tell Pastor Lanny that you threw rocks at me or whatever. But I have to tell you this. I talk to so many people because people are always calling. Friends are calling. Other people tell their friends to call me to pray with them. And I have to tell you something. I hear the same thing over and over again. I can't find the time. You know what? All I can tell you is I have to get up early in the morning to find the time. My son said something to me one morning, and he said, "Mom, you're always tired." He says, "But you get up to pray so early and to read your Bible." He says, "Why don't you just rest?" I said, "Son, if I didn't get up to read my Bible and I didn't get up to pray, there would be no rest." I said, we're talking about a physical tired, but I'm telling you there would be another disturbance. I get up to meet with the Lord, and I'm not perfect. I just get up to meet with him first thing in the morning. Something that someone said to me that was so wonderful. If the morning is not your thing, don't set yourself up for failure. If you're a night person, when the children go to bed and everybody's in bed and it's quiet, meet with the Lord. You got to have a daily intimacy. This is not a drive-by kissing. You got to come into it. You got to walk into this relationship. You got to come closer. It's a daily intimacy. You got to learn of him. How are you going to get the word in you if you don't ever read it? It's not through osmosis. You got to pick it up. You got to turn the pages. You have to read it. One thing I learned is that I hunger for that I do the most. And so, as you can tell, I like to eat. I do. I enjoy eating. Some people always say, "Oh, I don't enjoy eating," but they're big. Okay, so what's going on? But anyway, I'm not heavy because I don't enjoy eating. I enjoy eating. And I like to cook. But you know what? I would love to say and would hope I can say that also I know how much I need God, so I have to get in his presence just that much. Because I can't imagine trying to figure out any part of my life without God. Not any part of my life without God. So the daily intimacy. As a Pharisee, Paul had sought to earn God's favor by legal obedience. He said, "I'll get it through legal obedience." But he came to realize that the laws, they meant that the law was just a standard that he could never meet without the presence of God. So finally, he got in the presence of God and just totally threw away all of that and recognized that all of his righteousness was a filthy rags in the presence of the Lord. And Philippians 3:10-16. I'm reading it through the Message Bible. They didn't have that translation, but I just love the way the Message Bible gets down to, gets right down to it. It says, "I gave up all the inferior stuff so I could know Christ personally, experience his resurrection power, be a partner in his suffering, and go all the way with him to death itself. If there was any way to get in on the resurrection from the death, from the dead, I want to do it." You know, we need to recognize that this is going to cost us something. And I love happy messages, and this is a happy message. But I also want to tell you, I also recognize that I may have to give something before I see Jesus. I come to that strong realization as I preach, as I go to churches and I preach the gospel, as I go on the mission field. I said, "Father, make me ready, because this may one day cost me my life. I may have to stand in the midst of opposition as those kids did in Columbine, and where the one lady made a choice in Columbine many years ago. And he said, 'If you talk about Jesus, if you mention Jesus, I'm going to kill you.' And she said that this is what her life was all about, and he shot her dead. It may be that the gospel may cost me my life. But if I'm going to stand for Christ, I have to make that decision. And I have to say, I'm going all the way with you because you went all the way for me. We have to come to some realizations. What is your foot? What have you made up in your mind for your relationship with Christ? What will it cost you? What will you give for your relationship? Let's just look and focus in on the goal. I'm not saying that same verse, 3:10 through 16. I'm not saying that I have all of this. I'm not saying I have this all together, that I have it made, but I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ, who so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this. But I have got my eyes on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I am off and running, and I am not turning back. So let's keep focus on the goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us, if any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision and you'll see it. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. What a commitment. Now that you're on the right track, stay on it. We fight for so many things, and we fight to stay in so many things, but in our relationship with Jesus, we could just give it up at the drop of a hat. Just give it up. But yet you're so determined in other areas of your life. And so that's why I'm on the phone and I'm telling people, no, don't say that you don't have time to spend with God. Don't say that it's impossible for me to read, for me to pray, for me to get in the presence of the Lord. Set aside a time that it's just you and God. So my day runs from, first thing in the morning to pretty early at night, because I go to bed really early. Because I get up really early. And so I'm no good at night to try to read my Bible, because I would read the same verse 19 times. But I'm great in the morning. So I get up in the morning. You may be great at night, but I'm here to encourage you. You're saying, God, I don't have a place of peace. I'm always disturbed. There's always something going on in my life. My foundation is shaky. And God, I always want to give up. It will not be shaky like that when you get in the presence of the Lord. Am I saying that you won't cry? Am I saying that there won't be times that you go to a friend like Marilyn and say, Marilyn, this is what's going on in my life. Pray with me. I go to Marilyn and we pray. But I am telling you this. My foundation is stable. I know in whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep me, to keep everything that I've committed to him. I'm persuaded. I know that he has not left me. Even when he says no, I know that he has not left me, but he's with me. The peace I'm talking about, this peace, this confidence that I'm talking about, it's a peace not intimidated by the world's systems. Its threats and its dangers is not clothed in self-absorption. This peace is only found in having a relationship with Jesus Christ. I have discovered that in every situation I go through, that I need to nestle in closer to him. Something I asked one of my friends last week when things were going on with my sister. I said, I have the peace of God. And when my niece called and said she stopped breathing, my heart just sunk. And I thought, oh God, she just had a baby. Lord, please, I don't want to raise her child. I want my sister here to raise her own child. And here I am, and my heart just sunk. And in the midst of it, there was just something that, just the wind of God that blew to let me know. As I was driving, I left work and I started heading towards Virginia. And when I got to, as I was driving to Virginia, there was just a song that came across my mind. And it's just a song that says, he's able. And I was just singing, and I was singing, "He's able." And I was singing and singing, and I was rocking too, man, because this is a rocking song. And I was rocking, and I was singing, "He's able." And when I got there, the Lord had already begun to work. He's able. He's able. So I don't everything in me. My heart dropped. I called Marilyn. Marilyn gets lots of calls. And I called Marilyn, and I said, my heart did like this. It just dropped. And I was in tears. But when I got in the car and I started driving that first hour, I could hear just that song, and I just started singing it. And I didn't even realize technically what I was singing. Anybody ever had that? That you're just singing something, and you're not cluing into what you're singing, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit opens up your ears and you hear the song you're singing? Then I really got happy. Man, I was driving, speaking in tongues, raising my hand, and rocking at the same time. Because he's able. But I had been driving for a while singing it and didn't realize it. Isaiah 9, 6 and 8 says this, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David, over his kingdom, to establish and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from the latter time forth, and even forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Stop allowing yourself to be agitated and disturbed. Do not permit yourself to be fearful, intimidated, coward, and unsettled. God's peace is not the result of our effort. It's not the result of our problem-solving skills. You know, we all get into that. I can solve this problem. God ever let you work on something to the degree that you mess it up even more? Have you ever been there? Oh, yeah. And I really solved it. When I got done with it, it was even worse than five and six times worse than what the original situation really was. God says, okay, so you're big enough to hold this up, are you? Well, here it is. And then I felt like I didn't look like that picture of the man holding the whole world up. You know, we are not Atlas. We are not. We cannot hold the whole world. We finally realized this. My brother said this in the beginning of the service. In John 16:33, it says, in the world you will have tribulation, trials, and distress. What? What? You know, I mean, hey, remember the song, I Beg Your Pardon, I Never Promised You a Rose Garden? I thought he did. I really did. You know, every time I heard that, I kept saying, surely he promised us a rose garden. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and where I go, you'll come there. And I heard about all the mansions and everything, so I thought everything on earth was going to be great. But then he turned around, he says, in the world, you will have tribulations and trials and frustrations, but be of good cheer. What? Be of what? Doesn't that sound funny? People are going to throw rocks at you. They might even hit you in the head. They probably will run over you with a motorcycle. But then be of good cheer. Get up laughing. That cheer says, take courage. Be confident. Be certain. Have undaunting faith that your Heavenly Father makes no mistakes. That He's with you. He's not surprised that you're going through trials. He's not surprised. He wasn't surprised at any situation that has happened in my life. He's never been surprised by it. But he knew he was going to bring me through it. But he wasn't surprised. He's not surprised. But he knew that he was going to use it to bring you closer. My friend called and she was telling me another day in court, another blow that it seems like she took from Satan. And you know what I told her? I said, no, another day in court, it seems like another blow. But I have to tell you, the clock is ticking. I said, and when that last point, when Jesus says it's over, all of a sudden, Satan is going to come out running because God's going to do the final work. And I told her, I said, just walk in peace. This is not the end of the battle. This is just the beginning. Some situations have been long-lasting for some of you. You seem like you've gone through them. This is what God was speaking to me, that it seems like it's been long-lasting. You've been walking through it for a long season. And you just kept saying, God, why does it seem like I'm not coming out? Am I doing something wrong? What am I doing? But I came to tell you, you're not doing anything wrong. I came to tell you, he's got the final part of the clock ticking. And in his season and in his time, he makes all things beautiful. It's not just a song. He brings you out. And so here in James 4 and 7, it says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Come into him voluntarily. Walk in obedience. Bend your will. And then it says, resist the devil. Now notice, everything with God was you coming and laying yourself before, bending in the presence of the Lord. Then it says, resist the devil, withstand. Set oneself in opposition to this party and resist him. Don't submit yourself. Don't say you and I'm out for the count. No, you are not out for the count. He settled it all at Calvary. The battle is not yours to fight. He settled it all at Calvary. And then the Bible says, and what will he do? He will flee from you. Many rebuke the devil, but nothing happens. Why? Because the first part of the scripture tells us what to do. Then the second part is when we get in the presence of the Lord and we recognize that's when we can resist the devil and he will flee. Verse John 15:33 says this, for I have overcome the world. And this is so exciting to me. In the conclusion, I want to just give you this. I am really excited about this. I have overcome the world. I was telling my sister this morning, this is one of the most exciting parts of the scripture. We got the part about, in me, you will have peace. Then we got the part where he threw at us about the tribulations and the trials. But then the comforting part comes. See, he always comforts us. He always brings us to a point. He says, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power to harm you. And I have come to conquer it so it will not conquer you. I have overcome the world. He overcame the world by overcoming the powers of Satan. Jesus overcame by rejecting the world's systems, its values, and its judgment. So therefore, those of you that are struggling with the world system and you're struggling with everything that's going on, Jesus has overcame it already. And he can bring you through it. He can make you more than a conqueror. Jesus overcame by the willingness to endure the worst thing that Satan could throw at him without taking away one part of his word. He didn't retreat. He didn't cower down and say, I take that back. I am not greater than you. I am not. He didn't do that. He went through everything that Satan threw out at him, and yet he stood strong. He overcame it. Jesus overcame by steadfast refusal to yield to the world's temptation, to its lust, and to its pride. So let me encourage you that when you're overcoming some things, you gotta withstand a few things. Because he is an overcomer. You have to learn to say no. It's sort of funny, the children at school, I told you, I share little things with the daycare, they hit. And then they say, when they see me coming or see a teacher coming, they say, I said I was sorry. And I said, before you hit or after you hit? During the hit. I'm sorry, pow. You know? And then that's supposed to mean everything. But even in the midst of everything, Jesus was an overcomer. He stood fast to his words. Jesus overcame the world by living a life of total innocence and perfection. But Jesus also overcame the world by accepting no foolishness. Remember in the temple? And Jesus overcame by living a life of total power, authority, and effectiveness. Yes, he overcame the world. And so what does that mean for you and I? What does that mean for us? That we are overcomers. We're not a defeated foe. You and I can pursue the victory in Christ Jesus. What is the situation today that you are just in and you feel like, my gosh, there's no hope for me? What is the situation? I had lots of situations that I thought there was no hope, but I'm seeing Christ turn around every situation. Everybody just bow your heads, if you will, and let's just really look into the presence of the Lord for a moment. You're hanging on to some situations, to some things that just seem like, God, how do I get out of this? What do I do, God? But I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you today that there is nothing that you have gone through that God can't bring you out. He makes you an overcomer. If you are here and you need prayer, first, let's start with first things first. If you're here and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ into your life, come up and we're going to have people pray with you. Come up, Marilyn, and those that are going to pray with people. Come up. And if you're here and you want prayer, please come up to the front now. If you have been dealing with a long-time situation, just a situation that seems like there is no end to it, I want you to come up and let's pray. Let's meet Jesus. Come on up now if you're here. Okay, every heart is blessed. Father, we just thank you. I thank you for meeting us at our needs, Father. I thank you for what you are going to do. And Lord, I just pray that the rest of this day, you be glorified, Father. I pray that we walk in relationship with you. I pray that we draw ever so close, Father. Meet us at our need, Father, and thank you for all that you have overcome so that we can stand in the presence of the Lord. I love you, Jesus, and I thank you. Amen.